All right, let's dive deep today. We're going to explore the Titanic.
Ooh, Titanic. What I love that movie.
Not for sure.
I know it so well.
Yeah.
I can quote every line.
We're going deeper than the movie, though. We're
Oh,
going right to the screenplay itself.
perfect.
You might think you know this story. You know, doomed ship, star-crossed lovers,
Of course.
Celine Dion stuck in your head.
Obviously.
But there's a lot more there. A whole iceberg of meaning hidden beneath.
Oh, I like that. An iceberg of meaning.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I'm excited.
Yeah, so what's fascinating is that the screenplay is like
Yeah.
layering in these echoes of history and little details most people probably miss.
Well, yeah, it's like a treasure map, really. But instead of leading to gold, it leads to, a deeper understanding of the characters.
Exactly. And we're starting in a place you might not expect.
Okay.
The modern day,
Right.
decades after the ship sank,
Okay.
we're introduced to these treasure hunters who are obsessed with finding a specific jewel, the heart of the ocean necklace. They're
Right.
surrounded by the remnants of this incredible tragedy,
Yeah.
but they're just giddy. They only care about the lost gem.
Oh, that's interesting. I see what you mean about the juxtaposition there.
What do you make of that?
It's a good way to set the stage. Right away, the screenplay forces you to confront this tension
Yeah.
between greed and the weight of history.
Yeah.
You have these guys sifting through the remnants of countless lives,
Right.
but blinded by riches.
Yeah.
It subtly foreshadows one of the movie's big themes, the fleeting nature of wealth versus the enduring power of human connection.
And then we meet Rose,
Oh,
a
yeah.
101-year-old woman
Wow.
who contacts the treasure hunters and
Right.
claims she was on the Titanic.
A classic hook, right. I mean,
Yeah.
the crew's skeptical, obviously. A
Yeah.
woman over 100 years old
Right.
claims to have been on a ship that sank 84 years ago.
Right.
Impossible. It seems impossible. But that's what pulls you in, right? You have to know if she's for real and what story she has to tell.
She holds the key, right,
Oh.
to unlocking the secrets of the Titanic.
Yes.
That's where the deep dive truly begins. The screenplay catapults us back to 1912.
Okay.
Young Rose, a first-class passenger, boarding this magnificent ship.
It is a magnificent ship.
Right. We're struck by the sheer scale.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
The Titanic, this floating city, a symbol of human ambition,
Yeah.
technological prowess.
Yeah, and the screenplay doesn't just dwell on the opulence.
No.
It contrasts that lavish first-class world with the cramped quarters of the third-class passengers. That's a visual representation of the social division
Yeah.
of that era. Sets up this idea that the Titanic is not just a ship,
Yeah.
but a microcosm of society.
And Rose, despite her privileged world, she's trapped.
Yes.
We meet Cal,
Ugh,
her
Cal.
wealthy and controlling fiance.
Yeah, you can practically feel her suffocating
Yes.
under his expectations.
Yes, exactly. She's
Yeah.
surrounded by luxury, but she's yearning for something more, that sense of freedom.
Exactly. This is where the screenplay's exploration of class gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just about rich and poor,
Yeah.
it's about the emotional limitations
Yes.
imposed by societal expectations.
And the screenplay doesn't shy away from the vibrancy of that third-class world.
No.
The music, the dancing, the sense of community.
Right.
It's almost as if that's the world she wants to be a part of.
It's what's missing, right, from her first-class existence.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where
That's where Jack comes in.
Jack Dawson enters the picture.
Yes. A penniless artist who wins his ticket on the Titanic.
What a hand of cards.
Talk about a life-altering hand.
Yeah. But it's not just luck that brings him face to face with Rose.
No, it's fate, right? Or the screenplay
Yeah.
orchestrating this meeting.
Their connection is instantaneous.
It's a classic. Opposites attract, but
Yeah.
deeper, I think.
Yeah, Jack embodies everything Rose's life lacks. Freedom, disregard for those societal constraints.
Exactly. And their first encounter on the
Oh.
deck as Rose contemplates jumping overboard,
That's right.
a masterclass in visual storytelling.
Wow.
The vastness of the ocean, setting sun, Rose perched on the railing,
Yeah.
it creates the sense of overwhelming despair
Yes.
and longing for escape. Then Jack appears seemingly out of nowhere.
Yes.
He becomes a symbol of hope.
Yeah.
Pulling her back from the brink.
That's so powerful.
So powerful. It sets in motion, a chain of events that will forever change their lives.
But it's not all romantic walks on the deck and stolen glances, right?
All right.
The screenplay takes us deep into Rose's emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
She's desperate to break free.
Absolutely.
From the suffocating life that's been laid out for her.
Right. It's important to remember, you know, the screenplay isn't just a love story. Yeah. It's about finding your own voice.
Yes.
Choosing your own path.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means defying expectations.
Yeah. And Jack, in his own way, becomes her catalyst.
Yes.
For rebellion.
He shows her that there's another way to live.
Yes.
One filled with passion and authenticity.
That leads to a truly unforgettable night.
Oh, I love this part.
When Jack, outfitted in borrowed finery, gets a taste of this first-class world.
It's a whirlwind of awkward encounters.
So awkward.
Hilarious attempts at high society etiquette.
Champagne and caviar.
Crash course.
Yes.
Yeah.
The screenplay uses these scenes to, like,
inject some humor.
Yes. Some much needed humor.
Yeah. Seeing Jack with his, you know, rough around the edges charm navigate this world.
Yeah.
It's entertaining and insightful.
Yes.
You know, it highlights the absurdity of some social customs.
Absolutely.
Exposes the shallowness that often lies beneath all that sophistication.
And who can forget?
Oh, I love her.
Molly Brown.
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yes.
She becomes Jack's champion, right?
Yes.
Recognizing his genuine spirit.
Yeah.
Helping him fit in.
She's a fantastic character.
Yeah. Oh, she's the best.
A symbol of resilience.
Yeah.
Generosity.
But also, you know,
yeah.
a shrewd observer of human nature.
Yes.
She sees through the facades and recognizes that true connection between Jack and Rose.
Yeah.
A connection that transcends class and social boundaries.
Their whirlwind night culminates in two contrasting scenes.
Oh, tell me.
That perfectly capture the film's central themes.
Okay.
First, the stuffy first-class dinner.
Ugh, I hate those scenes.
Where Jack, with his unfiltered honesty, challenges those norms.
Yes.
Catches Rose's eye.
It's about rebellion.
Yes.
Daring to be different. Speaking truth to power.
And then.
Yes.
The beautiful contrast.
Yes.
They sneak down to the third-class party.
Yes.
Experience true freedom and joy.
Dancing.
Letting loose.
In a way that would be unthinkable in the first class world.
It's visual representation of emotional liberation.
Yeah.
It's about shedding those expectations.
Yeah.
Embracing the pure joy of human connection.
Yeah.
And this is where we get to the heart of the story.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
The heart of the ocean.
This necklace.
It's more than just a piece of jewelry, right? It's a symbol.
Yes.
Laden with meaning.
It contains a rare blue diamond.
56 carats.
Supposedly once owned by Louis VI.
Wow.
Connects it to themes of power, opulence.
The fleeting nature of empires.
Right. It's stunning.
It really is.
And it becomes this tangible representation of the world Rose is expected to inhabit.
Right. A world of wealth and status.
Yes.
Superficial beauty.
And in a bold move.
What does she do?
Rose asks Jack to sketch her, wearing only the necklace.
It's so much more than just romantic.
Oh, yeah.
She's bearing her soul to Jack.
Yes.
Choosing authenticity over artifice, you know.
Yes.
Vulnerability over facade.
Yes.
It's a pivotal moment.
It is.
Solidifies their bond.
Yes.
And sets the stage for what's to come.
Their stolen moments of joy are about to be shattered. The screenplay expertly ratchets up the tension as the Titanic receives iceberg warnings.
Don't do it, Captain.
It maintains its speed.
Ooh.
We can practically feel the impending doom.
Oh, yeah. It's made even more impactful by knowing, you know.
Knowing what happens.
Yeah, the historical context.
It uses it to explore those broader themes of human hubris. The dangers of unchecked ambition.
The consequences of ignoring warning signs.
The overconfidence of the crew. The pressure to maintain that fast schedule.
Yeah.
It all feeds into this sense of inevitability.
Disaster's waiting right around the corner.
And then chaos erupts.
What happens?
The Titanic strikes the iceberg.
Oh, no.
And the events that follow.
I can't watch.
Are a whirlwind of confusion and terror.
I bet.
But the screenplay doesn't just depict the panic.
No.
It contrasts the reactions of different people on the ship.
Oh, how so?
You see the crew trying to maintain order.
Yeah.
The first class passengers clinging to their privilege.
Oh, those guys.
The steerage passengers.
Yeah.
Facing the harshest reality of the situation.
Yeah. It's a microcosm of how different social groups respond to crisis.
Right.
Underscores the film's exploration of class.
Yes.
Societal inequality.
And amidst this chaos, Jack gets framed for stealing the heart of the ocean.
What? No, not Jack.
Cal, in a jealous rage, plants the necklace on Jack.
Cal's the worst.
Leading to his arrest. low blow, even for Cal, really.
Oh, worse.
But it speaks volumes about his character.
It really does.
It reveals the depths of Cal's insecurity and his fear of losing Rose.
Right.
He's willing to use his wealth and influence to manipulate the situation, punish Jack, control Rose.
It's a chilling reminder that sometimes
yeah.
the greatest danger comes not from the elements,
yeah.
but from the darkness within ourselves.
Jack finds himself in a life or death struggle.
Oh.
Trapped below deck as the ship sinks lower and lower.
Poor Jack.
But Rose refuses to abandon him.
Good for her.
A testament to her courage and her unwavering belief.
It speaks to the depth of their connection.
Yes.
Their love has been tested by social barriers, physical danger, and now...
betrayal.
This act of betrayal.
But their bond just grows stronger.
Yes.
Defying the odds.
Defying the odds.
And then we witness the scramble for the lifeboats.
Oh, this is heartbreaking.
The social commentary becomes truly gut-wrenching.
It's the worst.
Class divisions are no longer subtle.
Yeah.
They're life or death.
Yeah, we see the wealthy using their privilege, right?
Yes.
To secure places in the lifeboats.
While the steerage passengers face a desperate fight for survival.
Yeah. The chaos, desperation.
Yeah.
The impossible choices. It's powerful. It's deeply affecting.
The screenplay doesn't shy away
from
the harsh reality.
It forces us to confront the uncomfortable truth.
Yes.
That even in the face of a shared catastrophe, our societal structures,
yes.
ingrained biases, can shape our actions,
yes.
determine our fate.
And as the situation grows dire,
yeah.
we're left with this sense of dread and anticipation.
What's going to happen?
What will become of Jack and Rose?
I don't know if I can take it.
How will they navigate this unfolding tragedy?
I need to know. I need to know.
And what will Rose's ultimate decision be?
You're killing me. I can't wait to find out. Welcome back.
When we left off, the Titanic was sinking fast.
Oh, yeah.
Jack was still trapped below deck.
I know.
It's a race against time.
Mm.
The stakes couldn't be higher.
And the screenplay?
Yeah.
It balances the spectacle of the sinking with the intimate human drama.
Yes.
We're not just watching a ship go down, you know.
No.
We're experiencing it.
Through their eyes.
Yeah.
Feeling their fear, their desperation,
yeah.
their love.
Rose finally finds an axe, right?
Yes, she does.
To free Jack.
But their escape is anything but easy.
I bet.
It's a frantic scramble through flooded corridors, dodging debris.
Oh, I hate that.
Fighting against the panic.
The screenplay doesn't shy away from that terror, does it?
No, it does not.
Being trapped.
It uses the setting to mirror the emotional state of the characters.
Oh, that's interesting. Give me an example.
Like the scene in the first class dining saloon.
Okay.
Partially submerged, tables and chairs floating around.
Oh, yeah.
Like ghostly remnants.
So claustrophobic and disorienting.
Yes.
Reflecting that chaos.
And just when you think things can't get any worse.
It gets worse.
Cal enters the picture.
I'm not Cal.
He's managed to secure a place on a lifeboat.
Of course he did.
But he realizes.
Yeah.
He left the necklace.
The heart of the ocean.
With Rose. He put his coat on her earlier.
Oh, right.
And that's where he stashed the diamond.
It speaks volumes, doesn't it?
About his character.
Even in the face of death, he's consumed by possessions.
Yes.
Willing to risk another man's life
yeah.
to retrieve a jewel sends Lovejoy back.
Into the sinking ship.
It's chilling.
So now, in addition to the sinking ship, they have another threat.
Lovejoy.
Armed with a pistol. Stalking them.
The tension is palpable.
Yes, the screenplay uses sound, lighting camera work,
yeah.
to create a sense of relentless pursuit.
Turns Lovejoy into this monstrous figure.
But amidst the chaos and danger,
yeah.
the screenplay never loses sight of that love story.
Oh, it's the driving force, right?
Yes, their love is what motivates Rose.
Inspires Jack to fight.
It gives them the courage to face their fate together.
Together.
They manage to evade Lovejoy.
Yeah.
But time is running out.
Oh.
They make their way to the stern.
The last part above water.
And here, the screenplay shifts.
How
sick. From survival to sacrifice.
Symbolism.
Yes. The stern represents the end of the line.
The point of no return.
Jack and Rose clinging to each other as the world crumbles around them.
Underscoring that their love transcends boundaries.
It can't be extinguished.
Not even by death.
They find a piece of driftwood.
Driftwood.
Barely big enough for one person.
Oh, I remember the scene. So heartbreaking.
They realize what they have to do.
The screenplay doesn't need dialogue here. You can see it in their expressions, yeah. their gestures.
The way they cling to each other.
Jack urges Rose to hold on.
Knowing he can't save himself.
His words never let go.
A promise, a testament to his love.
Such a simple phrase.
But so much weight.
It encapsulates everything, doesn't it?
Yes. Defying the odds, fighting, holding on to hope.
A message that resonates.
And as the Titanic disappears,
oh no.
Rose clings to the driftwood.
Her cries lost.
A reminder of the scale of the tragedy.
Our fragility of life.
But amidst the devastation,
here's hope.
Rose survives.
Yes.
And she finishes telling her story.
To the salvage crew.
They'd been so focused on finding the heart of the ocean.
They lost sight of the human story.
The real treasure.
It's a powerful reminder.
The history is about more than facts and artifacts.
It's about the lives of people.
Their dreams, their loves.
Their losses.
We connect with the past.
On a deeper level.
But here's the twist.
The twist.
Rose reveals she's had the heart of the ocean all along. She retrieved it from Cal's pocket.
After he put his coat on her.
She held on to it all these years.
Wow. So the jewel that drove them
is in her hand.
What will she do?
And Rose, with a knowing smile.
Okay.
She walks to the railing.
Your railing.
She drops it.
Into the ocean.
Into the ocean.
How?
You can practically see the treasure hunter's jaws hit the deck.
Especially Brock Lovett, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he spent years.
His whole life.
A fortune, his whole life.
Searching for this.
Oh, she just tosses it away. Like it's nothing.
Like a pebble.
What do you think the screenplay is trying to say with that?
It's like she's rejecting everything the necklace represents.
Right.
The obsession with wealth.
The pursuit of something.
That ultimately holds no real value.
It's an act of defiance.
Reclaiming her narrative.
Exactly.
She's not defined by the tragedy
or
the jewel.
She's lived a life.
A life full of love and experiences.
And to emphasize that,
yeah.
She shows them photos of her life, right?
Yes.
A life that was full and vibrant.
Full of joy and adventure.
It's like she's saying, look, this is what's valuable.
The memories, the connections, the life I built.
Right. Sometimes the greatest treasures are the ones we let go of.
The ones we carry in our hearts.
Not in our hands.
So what can we take away from this deep dive?
It challenges us to examine our own priorities, don't you think?
Yeah.
What do we truly value?
Are we chasing fleeting treasures?
Or investing in what matters.
Relationships, experiences, memories.
The things that shape who we are.
It's a story about love, sacrifice.
The enduring power of the human spirit.
Even in the face of tragedy, there's hope.
Always a reason to never let go.
Of the things that make life worth living.
So next time you watch Titanic.
Yeah.
Remember, it's more than just a love story.
Or a disaster movie.
It's a meditation on life, loss.
The things that make us human.
Until next time, deep divers.
Keep exploring, keep questioning.
Keep diving deep.